Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollack Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, ready to go for you. Welcome to all of our listeners. KRDO in Colorado Springs, KEZZ 94.1 in Steamboat Springs, KHOW. We're ready to go. You know the drill. Our telephone number is 303-713-8255. We are injury attorneys in our daily lives right here, right now. We're ready to answer your questions on any legal subject. Even though we're injury attorneys, we'll address any legal subject. We'll help you with your problems, solve your problems. It doesn't matter what the category is. It could be divorce, estate, wills, eviction, landlord-tenant, property, surveys. 303-713-8255. And as always, if we don't know the answer to the question, we can get you to the experts that do. And we don't get paid by these people. This is free. We send you to the right people. Generally, we can solve all the problems right here. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. And I'm going to tell you what. Yesterday, Brad and I produced a show that's going to air Sundays, Sunday mornings on a variety of stations, and next week in the mountains. And it's on back to school. And what do you need to know about carpooling? What do you need to know? I mean, you got a group of parents, responsible parents. They get together. Maybe they're going to rotate days. Maybe one parent's going to drive on day one, another on day two, etc. What are the legalities? And more importantly, do you need any special kind of insurance? And you can say, I don't want to spend any money. I don't want to spend any extra money. But listen to our show. It's going to be on our website, championsofthepeople.com, this upcoming week. Or you can call us or ask us any question. But, Brad, the bottom line is, we discussed on the show, a little flavor of the show, you got to have the right kind of insurance coverage. And if money is exchanging hands, sharing gas, getting paid, etc., that might trigger a commercial enterprise. And believe me, insurance companies look for ways to not cover you, and that is called exclusions. And if you look in your policy, you look for exclusions. So when you make a claim, they say, well, I'm sorry, that was excluded. And so let's talk about this commercial situation in a minute.
Well, it's pretty obvious that if all you're doing is sharing the cost of the money and maybe a little bit of cost of the car and the expense for the car, then you're going to be ride-sharing or you're going to be carpooling and you're not going to have a problem. Not ride-sharing, but carpooling, you're not going to have a problem. But if you start getting paid something in excess, extra money, money that may not be in proper relationship, and that's when you have four people that are riding with you and you're getting enough money so that you're exceeding what it might cost to actually operate the vehicle, now you're getting paid to taxi. And if you're getting paid to taxi, now all of a sudden you're a taxi or you're ride-sharing. And if you're ride-sharing or a taxi, now all of a sudden that policy you had at home that you thought was covering everything doesn't. Their insurance companies are recognizing more and more that if you're doing carpooling and you're the only one driving and you're getting money, you're increasing the risk that they have, and insurance companies will always try and find a way to charge more if you insist increase the risk.
They say they didn't cover that you didn't tell them about the risk, so we gave you tips on what to do. But bottom line, the first thing you need to do if you're going to carpool, are you going to have trade days to take children to school? You need to get all the parents together, and they need to bring their declaration sheet and their insurance policy. Don't be shy. Ask them for it. And next, what Brad just said is generally true, but it also depends on the language of your insurance policy. This needs to be verified. We give you tips in the show on how to do it. The show will be one of our podcasts on championsofthepeople.com. And one last thing. A lot of insurance companies now are issuing endorsements to your policies for ride-sharing situations that could include taking turns, carpooling, driving kids to school, extracurricular activities. So you're going to listen to the show, and we give you tips on what to do. Right now we're going to talk to Martin. Good morning, Martin, about settlement. How are you doing?
Hi, guys.
How's it going, Martin?
Several weeks ago I called and we discussed offer of settlement.
We sure did. Statutory offers?
Yeah. Actually, what I'm calling about is more procedural than discussing cases. And the offer of settlement, I understand about that's a pitfall that the insurance companies can use against a plaintiff.
Right.
But if that offer of settlement permits a party, such as an insurance company that's a defense on the defense, can that offer a settlement also relay into a Rule 11 sanction against the signing plaintiff's attorney?
So I'm not following you on that one.
In
other words, if the courts pursue settlements, I mean, they want settlements. The dockets are heavy.
Right, they encourage them.
But say, for example, the plaintiffs reject the offer of settlement and take it to trial, et cetera, and the award or judgment is less than the offer of settlement, so now the plaintiff's subject to offer a settlement award.
Okay.
So you want to know if that's a Rule 11 violation. So let's explain to everybody about Rule 11, Colorado Rules of Civil Procedure. Rule 11 states and says, you get sanctions if you take a legal position that basically has no position. It's not backed up by facts. It's not backed up by an alternative legal theory. It's really frivolous.
The court actually punish a party and their attorneys for not pursuing or offer a settlement and also say that the legal action was groundless, frivolous, and impose a Rule 11?
Okay. The court's going to determine if a legal action is groundless under 1317.101. Okay, in 102. That's a statutory requirement where the court can say that the legal claim has no basis in law. In fact,
is that your summary?
Right. The 1317.101 is the statutory claim where it says if the claim has no basis, no legal factual or legal basis, then the court, and it's not just the lawsuit, it can be any part of the lawsuit, any motions you filed, any documents.
For summary judgment?
Right. Well, on summary judgment, that's usually Rule 56, and you're not going to be dealing with summary judgment under 1317.101. But, yes, if you file a completely frivolous claim, then the court quite often is going to grant summary judgment against you.
But I don't think it's going to be based on the Rule 11. They can impose Rule 11 sanctions. It's going to be based on the fact-driven, fact-intensive investigation and analysis of did you have any facts and law to support what you just did. I always like to use an example. Let's use an example. Let's say, Martin, I sued you and said that you caused an automobile accident and I've been injured. But you and I didn't have an accident. There was no accident between you and I. That's absolutely frivolous. That's a Rule 11 violation. But I don't think it's driven by Rule 11. It's driven because I had no facts to prove what I just did.
Or let's say I make a claim that has absolutely no basis. Okay.
No evidentiary support then.
Legal basis.
Correct.
Or evidentiary, or if it's not a recognized law, if I'm trying to sue for something that's not recognized a law, okay, then that's also a one where I'm going to get a 1317.101, and I'm going to, for instance, let's say I want to strike an expert and I have no basis to do it other than I don't like the expert, and I file a motion to strike the expert. If it, under Rule 11, under 1317.101, I have to have some basis in law or fact to move to strike that expert. Otherwise, I'm wasting the court's time. Okay.
How often is the Rule 11 imposed?
Well, I've seen it imposed, but I mean, I don't think it's a normal, ordinary day by day event.
You know, it's interesting because Rule 11 is rarely imposed. Now, Rule 11 really, it's when you're signing the document, you're certifying that to the best of your knowledge, information or belief, actually, I think it is, you know, the best of your knowledge, information or belief, that it's not being presented for an improper purpose to harass, cause unnecessary
delay. There's a court or a sitting judge that really is biased toward you, and they just want to punish you for pursuing a lawsuit that you could have settled under offer of settlement. That, in other words, you didn't reach that threshold of offer of settlement that you could have earlier.
Well, just on the offer of settlement alone, I don't see the action.
The Rule 11 probably isn't, because you're going to get penalized enough for the offer of settlement, and you have the fact of the potential being penalized under 1317.101. I don't think Rule 11 is going to come into play there. But you know, Martin, you know, that's a very unique approach to it. I kind of like it.
Sure is.
Where you say, hey, this also is a Rule 11 violation. It might be the other way.
It might be the other way.
Where the defense attorney makes a ridiculous a settlement offer.
Hey, so Martin, thanks for the call.
You want to
talk about some more? We'll put you on hold, okay?
No, that's good enough, guys.
Okay, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We are injury attorneys in our day lives, and right here on this radio live, we're here to help you. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You call us and we give you legal answers. This is not a political show. It's a legal show. How refreshing is that? 303-713-8255. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. If you want any of our books that are written, they're free. You can download an ebook. They're free. Or if you want a hard copy, call the studio right now. We'll send you one. Call our law firm. We'll send you one. And as I said before many times, and I send it out a lot, if you want a copy of my own personal declaration sheet for my own personal car insurance policy, I'll give it to you. I've given it to many people. If you have questions about it, call us. We'll answer the questions. Right now, live, KHOW is Maureen. Good morning, Maureen. Welcome to Bell and Pollock. Whoops. Is Maureen, are you there? I think Maureen dropped off. Okay, so I want to tell you and remind you again that we did a show yesterday. It's going to air Sunday morning. It's on carpooling. It's on back to school. It's on safety. It's on rules. Do you really know all the rules in the law when you carpool? Do you really know all the rules and the regulations and the insurance coverages when you get together as parents, responsible parents, and you're going to trade days maybe, drive on Monday, one another one on Tuesday, another one Wednesday, take the children to extracurricular activities you're driving? What kind of coverage do you need? Have you ever even thought about it? Have you ever thought about having a meeting with the parents in somebody's home? And everybody bring your insurance policy, and don't be shy about this. Bring your insurance policy in your declaration sheet, because the person you trust your child with may not have more than the minimum insurance, or may have just a little bit more than the minimum insurance. And Brad, this can make a big deal, especially now with insurance companies coming out with endorsements for ride sharing, which kind of fits into the Uber and Lyft situation, but it's a little bit different. But still, you might fall into that category.
There's a lot that goes into this, and I think that everybody thinks, well, gee, it's just a simple matter, we're carpooling, and everybody's taking their turn, their week or their day, and they're driving, and or you know, somebody's just, you know, hey, you know, they're going to the local high school, and the kids got to get picked up, and so one of the seniors at the high school is picking up the freshmen or the sophomores to drive to take them to school because they've got a car and they're just driving them to school. It sounds very simple, but the process and the legalities behind it can be very, very difficult. And what rights you have, what rights you don't have, what protections you have. And, you know, we can get into legal rights that might be available, but the real question comes up with protection. Do you have protection for yourself if you're part of the carpooling? Do you have protection for your child if somebody's picking up your child? Do you have protection if the junior or senior in high school is picking up your sophomore or freshman in high school? Where's the protection for everybody concerned? And, you know, if you're one of the drivers or if you're the owner of the car, you want protection in case the person who's driving the car or you as the driver make a mistake. If you or one of the drivers in the other car, and you want protection in case somebody hits you, because you want to make sure that you've got protection. We've stated many times, Gary, that the bottom line is when you're buying your insurance, you must assume that the person that's going to hit you has either the minimum coverage or no coverage. Start with that concept. And if you start with the concept that they have either the minimum coverage or no coverage, then you start adding on what you're going to do to protect you and the other passengers in your car.
Right. And you got to ask questions. And it's in our show. The podcast will be on our website, championsofthepeople.com, this week. We're doing a two-part series. We did part one yesterday. So that's coming up. And you can listen to it tomorrow morning at a variety of stations. Or you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. But this is critical. You know, and so you get it tied down. You have a meeting of the responsible parents. Everybody brings their declaration sheet. Everybody sees the insurance coverage. That's critical. Because if an accident happens, maybe you have three passengers, four passengers. Maybe you have this. What insurance coverage covers the passengers? Very complicated. You need to know. What insurance covers the driver? Very complicated. You need to know. Listen to our show. And if you have questions, just give us a call. But at a minimum, you need to have a meeting between the responsible parents. And let's cover a little twist of this. Another little twist of this is you've got it all set up. You've got the parents. You've got the rotation. But now you get an emergency call on Wednesday morning, and somebody can't do it. Mary can't do it. John can't do it. So they're going to substitute their driver. The driver, Mrs. XYZ, is going to do it today. Or my teenage son is going to drive all the children to school because, you know, so that's going to be a substitute driver. And as Brad just said, you've got to assume that the other person, if there's an accident, has no insurance or minimum insurance, and you've got to go from there. It's very important. You can get the show at our website, championsofthepeople.com. If you want any copy of our book, just call us right here.
Look, something that's really important, as far as the books we have, we've got one that's called Cowards of the Street that's really important for you to get in this area. Now, we're not calling the carpooling people Cowards of the Street.
No, no.
Well, that's the hit and run part. But in the back part of the book, the back section, we talk about having insurance to cover you in case other people don't have insurance. And this is an important area to have when you're dealing with carpooling.
It is, and you can go to the last half of the book. Right now we're going to talk to Christine from Colorado Springs. Good morning, Christine. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Good morning. I'm having a situation with my personal physician here in town.
Okay, what's going on?
My daughter and I were in a bus accident, and we sustained brain injuries and spine injuries. And he's been seeing us for a year now, and he documented that we had brain, spine, and neck injuries. He wrote a letter to the insurance. And then we showed him a letter, a denial letter from the insurance company saying they had a video and that we weren't hurt. And all of a sudden he started writing in the office notes that we had no injuries. He copied the letter that I showed him, the denial letter from the insurance, and he put that in our medical record. And he's shown that to the doctors that he's referring us to. So they're having a biased opinion already saying we have no injuries.
What is this what is this video about, Christine?
Excuse me?
What is the video about? What does it allegedly show?
It allegedly shows me and my daughter on the bus and that our heads didn't move, that we didn't get injured. But it was a closed head injury, and we did get injured.
Okay.
And he never saw the video. He's just taking their word for it. Of course, the insurance is going to deny it.
Okay. Well, wow. before Brad gets into this, I want to ask you another question. How far down the line have you gone time-wise, months, weeks, days, from these referrals? Once he referred you out, was that a month ago, 2 months ago, 4 months ago? What was it?
After he looked at the denial letter, he sent us to a pain specialist and a neuropsychologist.
Okay, so I want to get, you were in a bus accident about a year ago. You went to a doctor. The doctor started saying and diagnosing you with certain brain injuries, traumatic brain injuries, what they probably are, TBIs.
Yeah.
And did he also diagnose you with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yes.
Okay, so he diagnosed you with these things.
He wrote a letter to the insurance company saying we had injuries.
Well, let me know, when you say the insurance company now, when you went to the doctor, did you have your own health insurance?
No. We had Medicaid and Medicare.
Okay, so that initially paid for it, and then he sent a letter to the insurance company for the bus company. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and when he sent it to the bus company, insurance company, they came back and said, here's the video showing that you didn't hit your head, and because you didn't hit your head, you can't have these injuries, and the doctor has now changed his diagnosis and his beliefs.
Yes, he's agreeing with them instead of us, and he told us in the office that he has to believe them because they pay the bills. We've been his patient for 20 years.
Is this doctor a neuropsychologist, or what kind of doctor is he?
No, he's just a regular
primary care physician.
Physician.
All right, and with comments like that, where he says, "Hey, I have to believe them because they're paying the bills," and that kind of stuff, it's probably time to be looking towards getting a different doctor.
Absolutely.
And whether or not his records, and to get his records and to contest his records as far as being inaccurate, if he's put stuff in it identifying them as being inaccurate, obviously. The doctor is following along. Let me ask you this. Does the doctor take Medicare or Medicaid?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want you to understand, the Medicaid, he's well aware of, if you're under Medicaid, he's well aware of the fact that the Medicaid payments are much, much less than what the insurance pays. He also understands that when the insurance steps in, they may step in and say, this is all the more we're going to pay, but they may pay higher rates. But he's now stuck with their protocols if he's going to live within the insurance. Rather than doing what he should be doing, is that's giving you treatment, giving you appropriate and correct treatment, and not being swayed by what the insurance company draws as the line. Quite often,
that letter that I showed him, the denial letter, and put it in our medical records. Is that can you do that?
Well, I mean, this guy obviously has no further good intention towards you, okay? If a doctor diagnoses you with XYZ to begin with and then changes it for, it looks like, apparently not a very good reason, then you don't need to go to this doctor anymore. You need to fire this doctor, okay?
Now,
can we sue him for messing up our whole insurance claim?
Okay, well, it's a complicated matter, but we got to take a break. Can you hang with us until the other side of the break, Christine?
Don't hang.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go away. We're going to finish this conversation. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You know, there's another question about this bus and the video. And in medicine shows these days, you don't have to hit your head. You don't have to hit your head to have a traumatic brain injury, which we're going to cover more on the other side of the commercial. So Bell and Pollock, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. And by the way, we've got many videos and many podcasts on traumatic brain injuries. We'll be right back. The future looks bright ahead, but don't be cruel to who heart is true. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. Good morning. Welcome back. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We are injury attorneys in our day lives, our radio lives. We're right here for you. The number is 303-713-8255. Pull up your legal chair. Get your legal coffee and legal bagel. We're going to talk to Eric from Catlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well, Eric. What's going on, buddy?
Well, we got our last week of our breakfast and lunch specials for this week. So, again, we're going to have our breakfast special. It's going to be the pork chop and eggs. That's two eggs cooked however you like them done. Golden brown hash browns, pork chop, of course, and you get your choice of flour, tortilla, toast, or pancakes. Once again, I recommend the pancakes, out of this world. And then our lunch special is going to be Southwestern salad. That's romaine lettuce, your choice of pinto or black beans, bell peppers, diced tomatoes, kernel corn, sliced avocado. We're serving that with a cilantro lime dressing. Really, really good stuff. That's a new dressing that we're trying out. And don't forget, on Mondays and Fridays, it's an all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. It's all you can eat. It's only $7.99. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. You cannot beat that. The umbrellas are up. The weather's beautiful. The bottomless mimosas are only $10. Come on down to Caitlin's. We'd love to see you out. There's a big rugby tournament across the street. Come and check that out. That's a growing sport going around. So come on down. There's tons of things to offer over here in Glendale. Come on down and see us.
Hey, Eric.
Yes?
I understand that those rugby players eat at the restaurant.
In droves.
In droves.
They take over the restaurant. It's really, really fun. They're really great guys. We've got to know them a lot, and they've got a big sevens tournament going on all weekend. Great thing, good time, all kinds of fun. So we can get good food, good drinks, good sports. Can't beat that.
Didn't the championship team eat over there?
They absolutely, yeah, they won the whole thing.
Every week.
The semi-pro team won the whole thing.
Every week.
Every week.
And
25 people at a time.
And so that's the breakfast of champions you're serving over there.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely, yes. Great way to put it.
I'll tell you what, Eric, you take those big rugby players and you tell them Bell and Pollock's willing to play rugby with 2-on-2, okay?
Okay, you got it. You're on.
You know, I actually saw a couple of them when I was there one Friday, and those guys are huge.
Yeah, they're big.
You don't want to mess with them.
So I was just kidding. Where are you located, Eric?
Okay, we're at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that is in the Glendale Shopping Center, guys.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, take care, Eric.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Right before the break, we were talking to Christine. Christine went to a doctor, was in a bus accident, had a video. The doctor diagnosed her and her daughter with head injuries and spine injuries. Then the doctor changed his mind after he, I guess, heard about the video, didn't see the video, and started removing his diagnosis, changing his diagnosis, and Christine has questions about that. Are we there, Christine?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so Brad, what do you got?
Christine, first, there's a lot of questions about if you have a claim against the bus company and what's happened there. But as we get to the doctor, first of all, no, I don't think it's appropriate the doctor puts the letter in your file or in your medical records where they're declining or they're refusing to give to cover the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
However, because you need to change doctors, you need to go to another doctor, and you want to show the motive of this doctor, which the motive is concerning me, because the motive of the doctor is not what I can see to make his patient better, but the motive is to figure out how to get paid and to do what the insurance company says and to believe the insurance company rather than his own diagnosis and his own examinations of you.
Yes.
It might be important that he puts this in because that can trigger you. I mean, that's going to be good evidence to trigger that the doctor was working not off of examinations, but instead is working off of what an adjuster is telling him. And that's the problem you run into, is adjusters quite often will try to browbeat, and they try to beat up on the doctors to tell them, look, we're not paying under these circumstances, or there's no way that the mechanism of injury can lead to these problems. And if the doctor falls for it, unfortunately, you've got a bad doctor.
Well, the question is, can this matter be solved or attacked? And this is a fact-intensive situation. That's lawyer talk. It's fact-intensive. We'll be glad to try to help you, but we're probably going to have to see this video. Do you have a copy of the video?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we'll be glad.
I have two copies.
All right, we'll be glad.
They altered the video.
Yeah?
There's two different copies. The bus company altered the video. Edited.
Oh, we got an edited video. All right. I mean, Brad and I've run into that many times when people, with surveillance type things. They edit the surveillance. They cut this out. They cut down a lot of the parts they didn't want to see ended up on the cutting room floor. And so that's very critical what you just said.
Give me a short, quick idea of how this accident happened. What went on?
My daughter and I were on the bus, in the back of the bus, the very back. We were heading down West Colorado towards Manitou Avenue, towards the mountains.
Right.
And the driver was speeding, and he slammed on his brakes. We were going like 40, 45 miles an hour. He missed a passenger on the side. He didn't see him sitting there. So he slammed on his brakes. There was a guy in the front that got thrown out of his wheelchair, and his legs got broken in three places. Me and my daughter were in the back, and my daughter felt dizzy right away. We put her on the ambulance. But what also happened was the bus company didn't follow protocol. They didn't call the police to the scene. There were three injured people.
So they stopped and got people on the ambulance, but they didn't call the police?
No. And we were in the back. He was in the front, so we got the most impact, the front and the back. The bus is like a roller coaster. That's what our therapist told us. So the most impact is the front and the back.
Christine, what bus was this? I mean, it's not a government bus, a private bus?
Metro, yes, a city bus.
City bus.
And they've been trying to cover up this accident ever since it happened. We've never seen the driver, the supervisor that was on the scene. They got rid of him. They altered the video. The driver never had to take an alcohol test, drug test. We've been fighting this for a year. They haven't paid us one penny.
Okay, I'm really worried about this situation legally, because in Colorado, and if this is a city bus, which means it's a governmental entity, this is how lawyers do it. That's a governmental entity that triggers the governmental immunity statute. What that means is, in English language, it means that anybody that's injured by a governmental entity, i.e. a city bus, has to give a certain statutory notice within the first 180 days after the event. I'm not sure that happened.
Have you been working with a lawyer at all?
Yeah.
Well, my daughter did file the 180 days with the lawyer, but then he dropped the case because he said it would cost too much to recover.
Okay.
You don't want to fight the city.
It looks like you're protected under the 180-day notice.
You said your daughter filed it. Did you file one, Christine?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't get my injury. I didn't feel it till like a month later, and I didn't file it. But I was brain damaged. I didn't know what I was doing. It took me 8 months just to snap out of it and figure out what happened. I wasn't thinking straight at all.
Okay, so this is going to bear some investigation and of the facts. As I said, it's fact-intensive. That could be a big problem if there was no governmental immunity notice filed on behalf of you. Maybe your daughter's covers it. Maybe it doesn't.
Right.
We'll have to take a look at it.
And whether there's any repose or you know, for disability, we'll have to look into the disability you had and what the doctor was saying. Because
they're paying for the guy that got thrown out of the wheelchair. They admit that he got hurt, but not for us. And we were on the same bus.
Right. Do you have all your medical records, or do you have any medical
records? I have everything.
You have everything. Okay. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to call you this week. We're going to see if we can give you some help. You're probably going to have to furnish the video and the records to us, and so we can take a look at it. Would that be okay?
Yes. We have two videos.
And one or both were doctored, edited?
Yes. Both of them are.
Okay. Give Kevin your information. I'm going to put you on hold. Thank you very much for the call.
All right. We'll work with you.
All right.
All right. Christine from Colorado Springs. That sounds like a tragic situation. Listen, when you're in an accident or injury with a government entity, a government bus, a city water department truck, a city bus, some of them are in the law what's called quasi-governmental entities. What that means in English is you have to give appropriate statutory notice within 180 days from the day of the event. You have to do it. The statute is very critical because it's what the courts and law calls jurisdictional, means if you don't give the notice, you're done. And so maybe she can piggyback on the notice her daughter gave. But for everybody's edification and education, you must give the notice. It has to be the correct notice, and it has to be technically correct under the statute.
Okay, let's go back. Rule number one, everybody, if you're hurt in an accident, contact a lawyer. Contact a personal injury lawyer. Contact someone who knows what they're doing. Sit down with the personal injury lawyer and discuss and go over what you need to do to preserve your rights. And if that takes filing the governmental immunity notice, get it filed. If that takes doing other actions, do it. Extend your time period to the longest time available to determine your injuries. Most neuropsychologists are going to tell you that when somebody has a head injury, they're not even going to start talking about what the permanent effect is or whether or not you're going to overcome that head injury for about 18 months. You can't sit and do nothing for 18 months. You have to preserve your legal rights while you're doing it.
Yeah, there's one medical threshold of 12 months, and then 18 months is another one. And so that's another complicated matter. But the bottom line is this. If you're injured by a city instrument, truck, whatever, van, you must give the notice. If you give the notice, that doesn't mean you have to do anything. But if you don't give the notice, you're done legally. So always, Brad said, always go see a personal injury lawyer. If you come see us, I tell you what, we've said this for a long time now, you get a free initial consultation, but more importantly, you get a free legal game plan, a legal game plan, okay? So, and we've said it many times, if you're hit by a drunk driver, that's a different legal game plan. If you need back surgery, that's a different legal game plan. If you have a TBI, traumatic brain injury, different game plan. But you need one that fits your circumstances, your accident, your medical condition, your pre-existing conditions, and the mechanism of injury. It's just that simple.
All right. Eric, if you can hold on, we got to go to a break. It's time period of it. We want to talk about the last caller. So hang in there, buddy.
So here, hang in there, Eric. And also, you can give us a call at 303-713-8255, 713-8255. We are injury attorneys here to help you on any legal subject because we are your champions of the people. Good morning. Welcome back. We're live. We're law. We talk law. This is a law talk show. 303-713-8255. If you want one of our free accident assistance packets that goes in your glove box, all kinds of instructions and directions that hold your insurance papers and registration papers, just give us a call. It's free. We'll send you one. Right now we're going to talk to Eric from South Dakota. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Oh, good. I was listening, and I thought I'd help you guys to help that lady that was just on.
Sure.
I used to work for First Transit. I was a bus operator.
All right.
And I was in a collision, and there's a lady that T-boned me, which I was at fault. And they went through that Governmental Immunity Act.
Right.
Well, because I worked for a contracting company, it didn't apply. So that may be the case with that last lady. And it even went to the state Supreme Court of Colorado. And because First Transit was fighting it tooth and nail because they didn't want unlimited immunity, and they got it. She won, actually, and First Transit lost. So if it's a contractor that's working for the bus company, the Immunity Act doesn't apply.
Your comments are so well taken. We so much appreciate your call. The permutations and about navigating these insurance mazes when you're injured. Brad's advice is go to a personal injury lawyer right away. Most consultations are free. Ours are. But your comment is very well taken because when it's subcontracted out from the city to a private contractor, the flavor of the legal relationship can change.
Mm-hmm.
We
work for RTD and we had routes. So. And yeah, it went to the state Supreme Court. I can give you the case, all that stuff later. But I really do. I hope that lady gets help because what that driver did, I think, was extremely wrong.
Right.
There should have been cops. There should have been a drug test because I went through all that. I was the driver.
And you feed right into, you know, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Rules and Regulations on trucks, big trucks, vans, whatever, because there is a mandatory drug test and screening test within hours after an accident by a driver. That's a good point. But Eric and I, Christine, I hope you're listening. But Eric, what is your take? What's your take on the fact that they say they've got this video, and I think she said they say her head and her daughter's head didn't move. What's your take on this situation?
To me, they're covering it up. It sounds like that. I really believe now. This is another thing. If you know if it's a contractor, if you look up, you know, when you get in the door of a bus, if you look up and it says RTD, if it doesn't say RTD, it'll say like ST, like that's First Transit, or CP. You know, the different names of the contractors. But anyway, that's off. Side, but I think they're covering it up because they know they're at fault, and it's also a contractor. I really believe it's a contractor that did that.
Well, you've got some great insight. I'll tell you what, I had a case one time that turned on. We took a picture of a part of the truck by the lower part of the door, and because they were denying everything, but what they had printed on the side of the door turned the whole event and won the case. Your comments are incredible, sir, from South Dakota. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I used to live there, so I hope it helps.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Eric. We appreciate all your comments. We're going to talk to Michael from Steamboat Springs. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to give some information for you and the public. Probably you know it, but one of the biggest omissions I have found on magazines such as Kiplinger's Finance Money magazine and so on, when they talk about insurance and they talk about the uninsured motorist portion, which is very important,
correct,
as you well know, concerning how many drivers are either not insured or underinsured. But what is I've noticed the omission is when they talk about the personal umbrella policy, commonly called $1 million policy or more.
Right.
No one talks about the fact that the uninsured motorist portion generally is not included in that personal umbrella policy.
Wow.
Thank you,
Michael from Steamboat Springs. Continue, please. Go right ahead.
I was going to say, only a few companies provide that, and it is a small additional price, like $40 a year to add that. So it's minimal, but instead of getting your basic uninsured motorist limit on your policy, as an example, $250,000. Now you get $1,250,000, or obviously, you know, it's $1 million on top of your, primary.
On your basic insurance coverage.
Exactly. But the key thing is that most companies do not offer that option. It's not automatically included. So people think that the $1 million goes on top of everything, and it does not.
Right. I tell you what, Michael, your comments are so well taken, because at the top of the show, I don't know if you're listening at the top of the show, but we covered ride-sharing agreements for back-to-school moms and dads, et cetera, and insurance companies always look for exclusions. And in that situation you just defined, they say, well, your umbrella policy doesn't cover this because it's excluded, or you didn't tell us that you wanted it UIM on your cars. You just want a general umbrella insurance. Nobody ever told us, so you didn't tell us. You didn't. You should have. Wow, what great comments you have.
And keep in mind that some companies do provide it. So, therefore, I recommend everyone check that out. And then, of course, my recommendation is change to a company that does provide that.
You're exactly right. You get a company. If it's not automatic, at least get the endorsement. And if they don't do it at all, change to a company that does do it. Because
in addition to
protecting everybody else, you want to protect yourself.
Because there are comments that up to maybe one-third of the people are either uninsured, depending on the geographical location, or obviously uninsured and have only the minimum limits. So, and they have no assets. So you're out of luck if you don't have your own coverage, as you gentlemen well know.
You are out of luck. Michael, we so much appreciate your call. You're going to be a proud recipient. You just won a free copy of our book, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. I'm going to send it to you, and I'm going to see you in Steamboat Springs next weekend. Can I put you on hold to get your address to send it to you?
Yes, thank you.
All right, I'll talk to Kevin, and we'll send it to you, and we really appreciate your call.
That was an excellent call.
Very, very good call, Michael, from Steamboat Springs. Thank you very much. We're going to try to get Donna. Hello, Donna from Fort Collins. How are you?
Hello, how are you this morning?
Good.
I have a grandson, bought him a car, and have both our names on the title and the registration. He had an accident. The insurance, my insurance excluded him.
Okay.
So he is driving without insurance, and I am terrified that I am going to be in trouble somehow, but I don't know how. Is it possible that I'm liable for anything if he chooses to drive without insurance? And what legally are the consequences for him if he gets stopped?
You issue a statement to him right away, probably in writing, a letter to him saying stop driving until you get insurance. You don't agree with it. You don't authorize it. And if he does it, you're going to look into taking the car back or getting off the loan. And also, we can talk off the air this week. Also, we want you to talk to your insurance person about putting a minimal policy on him on a separate policy.
Don, I'm going to have to put you on hold, but we're going to follow up with you and answer all your questions, okay? We're up against the wall on time, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank
so
you
much.
For the call. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Don't forget about the Barry and Larry Show, the Consumer Real Estate Show. They're very good. They're professionals. They follow our show. Bell and Pollock, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. It has all of our podcasts there, including this show, after the show is done. So, and you can get any of our free books, download an ebook, or get a hard copy. Championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people.